The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to do it, it's going to be up to me and you, grassroots level, upside down, okay? From the bottom up, not top down. Top down is what got us into this mess. It is a government of, for, and by we the people. We need to reclaim that and hold on to that very fact. It is the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. Welcome back. We're going to play a clip from you. I mentioned in our discussion with Samantha Mills, the Good News Girl, about the 9/11 Memorial Guard that told the middle school choir to stop singing the national anthem. Scott, let's play that clip right now.
So a middle school choir silenced while singing the national anthem at New York City's 9/11 memorial. Security guards ordered the North Carolina students to stop singing, and they did. Memorial rules state groups need a permit to perform at the site. Now, the students did not have a written permit, but have been given a verbal okay from a different security guard. This morning, we're going to give them a chance to finish what they started, but also get their perspective on what happened. And joining us now from Waynesville Middle School, choir director Martha Weathers and principal Trevor Putnam. Martha, first off, how did this all go down? You planned a trip there, asked a security guard for permission to sing there, then what happened?
We lined the children up in the spot he designated, and then we began to sing, and about three phrases into the anthem, we were approached by another security guard who told us to stop, that we were having a public demonstration, and that was not permissible.
But did they know you were singing the national anthem? They put it on. Did you try to talk them out of that, let them know that you had permission?
I spoke with the guard and said that we had received verbal permission from another security guard, and he said, you just can't do this. You've got to stop now. So we very reverently and quietly stopped what we were doing and complied with his request and quietly exited the park.
Wow. What were the kids' reaction?
They were disappointed. They were shocked. And I think most of all confused that they couldn't sing the national anthem at this site. But we turned it into a teaching moment and taught them that even if you don't agree with it or don't understand it, you must respect authority.
Well, I'll tell you, that teacher's a wise teacher there, Scott, to be able to, you know, sell this issue. But I just can't imagine that these kids, you know, were not affected by this. I mean, you know, here's people of authority saying you can't sing the national anthem. The national anthem, which my understanding was that once you started singing the national anthem, it is rather irreverent to stop, that it needs to, once you begin it, it has to be finished. It can't be interrupted. And, you know, all manner of decorum was thrown out the window, you know, because of, you know, some misunderstanding here. But, you know, it's in one hand, you know, this is the problem with legalism and, you know, some of these issues of the law like this, that, you know, when you go to the 9/11, sometimes you just are so affected, you know, by that memorial that you can't help yourself. Go ahead.
I guess for me, I'd want to know why he stopped it. Obviously, it's a memorial. It's in the United States. It's a United States memorial. Mm-hmm. Why would you stop the national anthem? What is the reasoning behind it? Why is that? Why did he feel that wasn't allowed?
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, people, you know, you have to have a permit to do, you know, do thing to do certain things. But at the same time, what did that hurt? You can obviously see it's kids.
Yeah. So, I mean, and how long does it take to sing the national anthem?
Right around 3 minutes.
Yeah. It's just like, so it's bothersome. But we do have We have a lot of anti-sentiment in this country, and I think we're so anti-sentiment about so many things, particularly that are inherent to, you know, who we are as Americans, that this is an issue, and we need to stand up against it. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, we're back with the America, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com, that's where you want to go. And this portion of Bill Martinez being brought to you by my good friends at SaveTheStorks.com. That's where you want to go for more information about their incredible, incredible movement that they're doing. They have already outfitted 21 buses. They're parked outside of abortion clinics. They are offering for free a sonogram for women who have contemplated and, you know, made a decision for an abortion. They've chosen death over life. And they say, hey, do you want some more information? You know, come in the bus. We'll give you a free sonogram. See for your life and see for yourself. And it's your choice. You know, you can choose death still or choose life. 85% of the women who agree to go on the bus change their mind. They choose life. And unlike an abortion clinic that just says, hey, come on in, take the money. It's slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, boom, out the door, never to be seen again. Save the Storks travels with the women through the journey. It's like, okay, you've chosen life and you've got some things to overcome and deal with here, and we're going to help you. We're going to come alongside you every step of the way as you choose life. If you need help in deciding an adoption process, they're going to help them with it, and it's just tremendous. And this is why we've agreed to partner with them. And I encourage you to get on the bus with us, okay? Give them a call. Tell them I sent you. And the number to call, 844-578-6757. Any size donation, and whatever you can do, much appreciated, because we've got 21 more buses online that we're getting ready to put out there in the marketplace. 844-578-6757, and you can go to SaveTheStorks.com for more information. With us right now is Michael Onifer. He directs the Bethlehem Project, a leadership development and job creation program for Palestinian Christians, in addition to preaching and teaching on a regular basis. Onifer has lived in Israel on multiple occasions and travels to Israel and the West Bank regularly, training young leaders and cooperating with Palestinian Christians to develop Jewish-Christian relationships. Michael Onifer, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Hey. Good to be with you.
Hey, good to be with you. We know here in America, I know you've just have released a new book about millennials. I mean, this is a huge hunk of humanity. As big as the baby boomers are, here is the next group coming, you know, through the process is millennials, and they are growing in significance because of their mass. I mean, it's a lot of people here, but you are revealing to millennials something that will serve as a compass and a course corrector for them, if I can say, to make sure that all is well for them, that their life really does count, doesn't it?
It does. It does in a significant way. Like you said, it's the kind of the next big wave. And the issue regarding Israel, the Jewish people, the Palestinians, what's happening in the Middle East, and the larger ideological landscape that it represents is something that is deeply significant to a biblical worldview and the knowledge of God. And right now, certainly in kind of the traditional, if you will, pro-Israel camp, the baby boomer generation, as you put it, there's a consistency in the evangelical community of a support or at least an affinity towards Israel and the Jewish people. And that waned in the millennial generation. And I've spent the past 10 years on my travels to Israel working with millennials and talking to them about Israel. And I've seen that it's an issue that they can really connect with and that they can navigate if it's presented to them in the context of the bigger picture. And exactly. Ultimately, if they understand that how they see Israel and the Jewish people is very consequential to how they understand God, how they recognize his redemptive purposes, and how they can participate with him.
Exactly. Well, the boomers, as you say, have long supported Israel. I guess just part of our generation, we realize the association, and we've just experienced enough life to realize that, hey, if we support the things that God supports, it all works out well for us. You know, when we get in conflict with God, all kinds of issues come up. Maybe that's part of it. But the millennials have been taught in such a way that, in a sense, by and large, they become anti-Semitic. And I think Jews kind of understand, David Rubin, who is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, reported to us yesterday. And I thought this was quite eye-opening for some people to realize that probably the biggest supporters of Israel today comes from Christians in the United States, not even Jews themselves.
Yeah, this is true, and it comes down to the issue of a biblical worldview. And some of the things that we're seeing within the millennials, certainly millennial Christians, and the way that they're dealing with the issue with Israel, you know, it didn't just come from nowhere. And so there are ways of thinking, ways of understanding the Bible. There's seeds that have been sown by the previous generation, and that's coming to fruition, and they're engaging the issue of Israel in a way where the conclusions that they're coming to aren't founded in a scriptural biblical worldview. But I believe that their hearts are very much in the right place, that they're wanting to see a sincere and authentic expression of Christianity and the gospel, but they're largely misinformed about what's happening on the ground, and they're gravitating towards the Palestinian narrative without understanding the larger ideological implications that are there. And that's what the book helps to understand with. It helps to look at this in a way to where instead of beginning with the story of a Palestinian and then from that emotional perspective try to deal with the issue, it looks at the universal, it looks at the big picture, so then we can go down to the individual situation and try to move in a direction that's going to glorify God and really going to bring real change.
Michael, I'm glad you brought that out, because I think a lot of people misunderstand the millennials. They're the Xbox generation, the generation that's glued more to entertainment than anything else. I mean, they're more concerned about, you know, what's happening with the Kardashians or, you know, Prince these days than, you know, what's really more significant that has greater eternal consequence for them. They are in pursuit of the truth. I mean, this is why they've abandoned en masse the mainstream media, some of the other reporting channels, because they say, you know, this is kind of bogus. My son, he's 25. All his news comes from overseas. He very, very rarely does he pick up anything here. So I think that's part of what's forming, you know, his opinion and his worldview, as you say, and other millennials. But, you know, the good news, you know, for us to hold on to is the truth is the truth, no matter what. And lies cannot stand up in the face of the truth, can it?
No, it can't. And the challenge becomes when the truth doesn't agree with our personal perspective. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't agree with those emotions that are closest to us. And so you have, for example, the Christ at the Checkpoint conference that's been going on for a number of years, hosted by the Bethlehem Bible College in Bethlehem, and this is exactly what they're doing, and this is what the book God, Israel, and You addresses, is that we can't begin to deal with this from an emotional perspective with sound bites and misinformation and a complete, almost complete lack of context.
It really dishonors everything, doesn't it, Michael? Michael, stay with us. We got a break to go to. We come back. Our conversation with Michael Unifer will continue about his book, God, Israel, and You.
This report is brought to you by Mayflower. Millennials are being lured by major cities, but what will attract them to your city? The 2016 Mayflower Mover Insights Study discovered where and why millennials are moving. With 1 in 5 millennials moving in the past year, these insights may be the difference between your city seeing the headlights or taillights of a Mayflower moving truck. Of millennials who have moved, nearly half identified love as a reason for moving. Millennials identified experiences as important for relocating, with food and restaurants as the top priority. Millennials continue to be enamored by urban centers, with nearly 6 in 10 wanting to live in or near a big city. Melissa Sullivan, Director of Marketing, Mayflower.
Our Mayflower agents across the country are moving millennials as they begin new chapters of their lives, and many agents report new careers, relationships, and experiences as drivers of this generation's moves. Findings from our study help us analyze where our customers move and why they are moving.
For moving tips, visit Mayflower.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro-1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
This is it. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. With Wall Street suffering its worst start to a trading year in history, now is especially the time to be paying attention to gold. This first ever U.S. legal tender government gold offered at cost for only $139 each is from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call them at 1-866-944-GOLD. Gold is on the move, so don't miss out. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book. Get your free gold book, your free half dollar, but most importantly, get your gold at cost for only $139 per coin. 1-866-944-GOLD.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
All my friends.
A little cruising music to bring us back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez live here with you. We're talking about God, Israel, and You, the scandalous story of a faithful God. Michael Onifer and New York Times bestselling author Joshua Charles have written a book cutting to the heart of issues polarizing the church. I would say not only church, but including the world as well. Michael Onifer is the information, the worldview that has formed the perspective of many today has been quite injurious and off point, and I would say rather deceptive. And this gives you an opportunity, this book, you and Michael, to kind of, you know, balance out the scales with the, you know, with the facts and reality as to what really is happening because of this anti-Semitic sentiment that's been on the rise, as you say, within the church today and around the world. What say you, Mike?
Yeah. Well, we mentioned Christ at the checkpoint a moment ago, and I want to be sure to acknowledge the good things that they're doing. And what they are doing with the conference in particular is they're reaching out to others that have differing views. And so there is a real ecumenical sense to what they're doing. But the problem is the way that they approach the issue. And so they're beginning with this personal, emotional perspective, and the slippery slope is that sooner or later, and it's already happening in some cases, that you have pastors, you have Christians that confess a love for Jesus who justify suicide bombing. And what's happening is they're looking at the nation of Israel, they're looking at the warranted grievances that they have against Israel in the Arab-Israeli conflict, and they're using that as a means to remove Israel and the Jewish people from the purposes of God. And that just doesn't agree with Scripture. That doesn't agree with the gospel. You look at the narrative of Scripture, find me one person besides Jesus who got it right. And so they're saying Israel is imperfect, Israel's made mistakes, therefore Israel can't be a part of the plan of God. Well, if that's true, Bill, none of us are a part of the plan of God.
Exactly.
And so what they're doing is they're beginning with this personal, emotional perspective, and then they are allowing that perspective to inform their theology instead of the other way around. Now, I love the Palestinian people. I'm concerned for the Palestinian people. I'm invested in the Palestinian people, what I'm doing with the Bethlehem Project. And I think what the book does is it allows people to understand that perspective, allows them to understand where the Palestinians are coming from so that we can do something together as the body of Christ. Because we need to be able to listen to each other. We need to be able to understand each other. But ultimately, we need to be able to agree on an authoritative source of truth, which is the Bible. And that's what the book does.
Yeah. Well, Michael, their hearts have to be converted. I mean, if the Palestinians, you know, like the surrounding Arab nations, look at you and say, Michael, I want you dead. I don't want you to exist anymore. It kind of stifles the conversation. So there has to be a change of heart. And I know that there are many Palestinians who are coming to Christ, and that change of heart allows us to have a conversation that can be constructive. But, you know, Yasser Arafat, his leadership, and his passed on to Abbas as well, is there's no compromise with Israel. When I was there in January, what I grew to understand about the Palestinians' position, now I'm talking about the PLO and that movement there that insists that there's no compromise with Israel. They have to get 100% of what they want. If they don't get 100% of what they want, you know, as Arafat said, they're regarded an infidel. They should be killed and their family members. So there's not a whole lot of room to negotiate there. They just want Israel out of the land that they claim for themselves, that Israel has no claim on whatsoever. So, you know, that until there's a heart conversion, as you're seeing with Palestinian Christians, you can't have the conversation because you're still caught in ideology that will not allow you to cross over and begin to see it from the other person's side.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the situation is very complicated. And, you know, you have a Palestinian people, you have Muslims, you have Christians, and the prevailing ideology and what's coming from the Arafat and now Abbas and these other political slash terrorist factions that are involved in the West Bank and in Gaza, they don't represent the Palestinian people collectively. And you can't really paint the Palestinian people with broad brushstrokes, but we have to recognize that there has been a systematic approach to indoctrinate the Palestinian people and the world, and it's been successful. The Western world has been trained to believe that the Palestinians are the underdog, that they've been victimized, that they've been taken advantage of by Israel, and therefore they are automatically in the right, and that their cause is the moral cause. And that is simply not true. And the worst enemy of the Palestinian people is Palestinian and the larger Arab leadership, that they've allowed the Palestinian people to remain impoverished. And the book looks at the statistics. It looks at the history of what happened when Israel was in control of what is now the West Bank after the 67 war. What did it look like for the quality of life and the economy of the Palestinians? And it's, I mean, these are figures. I mean, when you look at these facts and you say, okay, we have to reconcile this. Look at the overwhelming contribution of the Jewish people to humanity. You look at what happened between 1967 into the 80s, into the 90s, and then, you know, it all changed the First Intifada. But when you look at those things together and say, okay, the Jewish people have made a tremendous contribution to humanity. Israeli presence in the West Bank increased the quality of life when they were there. It increased the economy when they were there. And so how are settlements an issue? Why are billions of dollars being flooded into the territories, but there's no change on the ground? That's not Israel's fault.
Yeah, because you're not winning the hearts of the people, regardless of the... Well, because the thing is, as you say, they've been so indoctrinated, although I find it quite interesting and contradictory, Michael, that when you talk to Palestinians and you say, given the option, do you want to live on the Palestinian side or do you want to live on the Israeli-controlled side? They'd much rather live on the Israeli-controlled side if given that option. But yet, if there's political pressure or leadership pressure by a few, then they'll go along to get along because that's what they know. But when they have that option, they'd much rather be on the Israeli-controlled side. I mean, after all, I mean, look at the highway there, if I can say that. The highways that go through these areas, they're controlled by Israel. And the reason that they're controlled by Israel is so that it'll keep moving. If it's not controlled by Israel, you're going to have all kinds of issues, and you cannot get commerce, you can't get people going, you know, freely, even on the highways there, right?
Well, that's another very complicated issue because you have the different zones and you have the different areas of control and the security measures. I mean, they really complicate things and makes life very difficult, you know, for everybody, not just for Palestinians, but it's the necessary means. I mean, look at what's happening now with this recent, what they're calling, you know, the stabbing, the knife intifada.
Yes.
And so even with those security measures, people are being killed. So Israel's put in a very difficult position. And my heart with this book is one of the things that I hope that's achieved is that Western Christians will appreciate the situation, the very difficult situation that Palestinian Christians are in, and understand that they've developed in the Arab world as a minority. And so they've developed, you know, since the early church in some communities under Islam, and so today you have a Palestinian community that's identity has been formed around this Muslim majority, and now they have to feel this pressure of a political narrative and a political identity that's largely been imposed on them.
Right,
and I hope that Christians will be sympathetic towards them.
Well,
and understand
this book will
their
this
position.
Book will take them a long way. God, Israel, and You: The Scandalous Story of a Faithful God. Michael Unifer, one of the authors, has been our guest on Bill Martinez Live.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
This is going to be the best day of my life.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or the 270-plus markets across the country or via shortwave around the world on WWCR or your smartphone, thank you for joining us. This is Bill Martinez Live. We come to you Monday through Friday, 3 hours every day from 9 to 12 noon Eastern, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. And the question, I guess many questions regarding, you know, this is primary day, and so the GOP and all the discussion going on with the Republican Party, will it or won't it? One of the extracts is the GOP's urban problem, and here to break it down for us is David Grasso. David is a business editor for Bold. Most recently, he was an anchor reporter and investigative journalist for an ABC affiliate in West Texas. David, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Well, today's primary Tuesday. We got five mid-Atlantic states involved. Lots of delegates up for grabs here. It looks like it could be a sweep for both Hillary and Bill Clinton, but Bill Clinton, Hillary, and Bopal here.
Somewhat accurate.
Yeah, I mean, some would say, hey, maybe not by accident, maybe Freudian here, but Donald Trump. But let's talk about the reality of the GOP's urban problem. Go ahead.
You know, in GOP's urban problem, I'm mostly talking about the general election. Obviously, primary elections are a very different animal, and of course, we have to mention primary elections because today is a huge day in primary elections. But when looking at the general elections and looking back at 2012, there's a blogger named Dave Troy who, right after the election, process the results and figured out a couple startling statistics. One of them is that 98% of the 50 most dense counties voted for Obama. And in fact, the exact opposite is also correct. 98% of the 50 least dense counties voted for Romney. So the GOP definitely isn't popular in our flagship cities, which are the center of culture and the economy, but not of the Republican Party.
And so, you know, what do they do to build bridges here into those communities?
Well, you know, it's really hard. What's going on is that, in fact, the same blogger figured out that after an area exceeds 800 people per square mile, the area inevitably becomes Democratic. And unfortunately for the Republican Party, there are definitely red areas that are becoming blue, but there are very few, if any, examples of blue areas that are becoming red. Cities have become a popular destination for millennial migration because of the job market, so people my age in their 20s and 30s end up in big cities, and they wander into areas that have registrations, like, for instance, I'm speaking to you from New York City today, there's seven Democrats for every registered Republican here. And, you know, this has been a long time coming, but it's finally coming home to roost for the Republican Party that this is a long-term problem, and it's not just an urban problem, it's becoming an everywhere problem.
Well, what is it? Is it the Democrats have been more responsive to the urban communities, seemingly? I mean, what is it that the Republicans did that has offended, these urban areas?
You know, that's one case to be made, is that Democrats are more responsive to urban problems. You know, they're more interested in investing in infrastructure, especially public transportation, which is very popular in dense areas and not so popular in less dense areas because it doesn't make much sense. But I think a lot of people, like myself, millennials, who migrate to cities, tend to be cultural liberals. Now, their economic ideas probably haven't changed very much. A lot of us carry with us very conservative economic ideals, but the messaging of the present-day Republican Party is heavily included is the cultural conservatism, and there's definitely a generational gap there, and younger people who would probably otherwise vote Republican don't vote at all or vote Democrat just because it's simply uncool or out of touch with present-day culture that we hold dearly, at least for my generation.
And, you know, one of the things that is quite interesting when I speak with, as you say, you know, with cultural liberals, if you want to say, or cultural Democrats, is, I find there's just such a great misunderstanding that seems to go on. It's kind of like, the other day, a friend of mine was saying, well, he could never vote Republican because of those Pepsi brothers.
Those
Pepsi brothers, you know. So, you know,
Pepsi brothers, the Koch brothers that are about to put their weight behind Hillary Clinton. Yes, those two guys.
Yes, right. Yeah. So it's all, and of course, even now in this cycle, David, there's a lot. There just seems to be so much misinformation going on. You got tentacles of the opposing team into the other's dugout, and they're affecting things and trying to influence and rattle cages in each side. This is really really convoluted here. I find this campaign to be more so than any that I've realized in during my lifetime anyway.
Well, you know, an inclusive message is always going to get more votes. Big tent politics is always smart strategically. Unfortunately, in my lifetime, the Republican Party hasn't been a big tent party. And this is a radical departure from the Reagan era. You know, when Reagan campaigned, he was campaigning for every vote. And even you can say that, you know, Bush HW was like that too. You know, the Karl Rove strategies of the early 2000s of, you know, solidifying a majority, they sure solidified a majority, a Democratic White House forever. Because when you talk to certain populations at the expense of others, you're writing off millions of voters.
Yes.
And it may win certain elections in certain areas, but over the long term, it's a very unsustainable strategy.
Well, I think this is what has happened in our country, David, don't you think, is that you end up winning the battle, but not the war, because, you know, after it's all said and done, after November the 6th, guess what? You got to get along. You got to work together, and find common ground to where you can make compromises and really move this country forward. This is what is frustrating. I don't care if it's a Republican or Democrat. I think the population at large is very frustrated with our government because it is so ineffective. And at every turn, you know, the thing that each politician will say, well, that system's broken. Whether you talk about immigration, well, that system's broken. What about the taxes? Well, that system's broken. I mean, you've known it's been broken for the last 60 years, so what are you doing about it?
I would even go further than that. My friend Rich Rubino wrote a book about old political quotations. Our system's been broken since George Washington was the first president. Yes. Politics is inherently broken. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have to campaign from the left or the right. We campaign largely on philosophy. But when it comes to governance, we all should govern from the center, practicality. Mm-hmm. That's what we elect people to do. And the irony is that in cities, we could probably use a lot of conservative economic policies. Exactly. A lot of our urban areas are horrifically mismanaged. And it's ripe for political change, but because of cultural conservatism on the right, it turns off a lot of urban voters. Mm-hmm. If that changed, I feel like the Republican Party could make a lot of inroads in cities where it's desperately needed. You know, here in New York City, this is a very, very, very dysfunctional city with a lot of market distortions. A good old-fashioned dose of free market reforms would be enormously beneficial for this city, for Detroit, for St. Louis, for Los Angeles, for San Francisco, all these places. And it's very ironic that these single-party cities are so against Republican ideas when, in many cases, it's exactly what they need, at least on the economic front.
Well, when you look at the states that are controlled by Republican governors, look at the success and track record that they're producing out there. It's hard to argue about your point. But this is the challenge, you know, when it breaks it down and we're thinking about, oh, this is a Republican or a Democratic thing, you know, we've abandoned the concept of the United States and we're paying a big price for it. Like you say, in these single party states and communities and counties and that sort of thing, this happens time and time again. And I agree with your perspective. We need to find a way to come together. And I'm glad you mentioned Rich Rubino's book, The Political Bible. I love it. It gives me some repose at times because of the humorous quotations, you know, from American politics. So it is well done and helps you know, kind of balance out the perspectives a little bit there, David, so we don't take ourselves too serious, right?
Yes, of course.
Well, David Grasso, business editor for Bold, and David, we appreciate you coming on. You're always welcome here on Bill Martinez Live. Appreciate the perspective. David Grasso on Bill Martinez Live. Why do they dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? Compromising digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss, and many other health complications. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acid, healthy body. That's 855-305-8326.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world.
Ooh, there's a wonderful world of softness, a wonderful world of freshness. It's the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful world.
You've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. As always, great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, Bill Martinez Live, that's BillMartinezLive.com. If you want to drop me an email, by all means, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. With us now is Alex Kendrick. He and his brother, referred to as the Kendrick Brothers, pioneered the modern faith film industry, beginning a wave of faith-based movies that has drawn remarkable attention from Hollywood in the last couple of years. Their first four movies together cost only $2.7 million. This makes the executives in Hollywood go nuts because they see these numbers. They go, are you kidding me? This is an incredible return on investment. But this is what happens when you have faithful men and people that make up, you know, the team that the Kendrick brothers have assembled to get this kind of return on investment. You know, God says, be fruitful, go out and multiply. And what do the Kendrick brothers do? They actually just, you know, listen to God and you're obedient and, you know, God has blessed your efforts, whether it's been with Flywheel, Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, and, of course, their most recent movie, War Room. Alex Kendrick, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you, Bill.
Hey, always good. Good to have you back with us. Boy, you got some exciting things going on. We got the National Day of Prayer coming up next month on Cinco de Mayo. But before that, the end of this month, you got a special screening of War Room that's going to be on churches across the country, right?
That's exactly right. About 200-plus churches are wow. giving a free screening of War Room on April the 30th. That's a Saturday, different times of the day. You can actually go to warroomthemovie.com and put in your zip code to see where it's showing for free. And we're doing that because we're passionate about prayer. We're passionate about the National Day of Prayer. And, man, if there was ever a time for us to return back to the Lord in prayer, it's now. And so this is a way to remind people of the importance of it. And we continue to hear just incredible stories of people who have seen the film and how it encouraged them to either renew their prayer life or take the next step making it a priority in their lives and families and marriages. And so we're showing it for free in about 200 churches. Again, you can go to warroomthemovie.com and put your zip code in and find all the churches in your area that are screening it.
Well, and the way it was presented in terms of, you know, with Miss Clara, in fact, we spoke with the original inspiration of Miss Clara from the movie. We had an interview with her daughter, just a really sweet conversation about a woman of God that inspired you in terms of the foundation of this character, Miss Clara, right?
Yeah, you know, we had real-life Miss Claras in our life and even making the movie. And we went to these people who were so seasoned in their walk with God and in their prayers, and much of that ended up in the movie. So if you've seen War Room, you know what we're talking about. But if you haven't, you would see there's an elderly character who learns to fight her battles in prayer first. She basically strategizes in prayer. What I mean by that is not just making prayer the spare tire that you pull out in an emergency or in a crisis, but making it more like the steering wheel. And we would say that as we seek the Lord in each area of our lives and draw closer to Him in a relationship, using prayer as the steering wheel for your life, God is pleased by that. And He loves ordering our steps, guiding us, protecting us, leading us. And so, again, with what's going on in our culture, we encourage everyone to spend more time in prayer and to seek the Lord. We think He is the answer, not necessarily politicians or anything else.
Exactly.
And so War Room is just a reminder of the power and necessity of prayer in our lives.
Well, you know, we pray, you know, when you first consider praying, why should I pray? Well, if you're not realizing any benefit of prayer, then there's no reason to. But when you see what's demonstrated here, and as you say, Alex, there are many of Miss Clara's around us. For me, I had a praying grandmother. I mean, boy, when you were on her list, she made things happen. I mean, she had like a direct line to God. It was just powerful. And, you know, so we've been blessed to have these kind of benchmarks and examples in our lives. And Karen Abercrombie, wow, you know, she played that role so, so brilliantly. And in fact, every time I think of her, I hear that cry out to God, raise them up. I mean, it puts goosebumps on me, Alex. I mean, I still think about this, and, you know, and how her cry to God to raise up, you know, prayer warriors. If we ever needed it, it is now, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, Jeremiah 29:13 tells us that God says to us, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Well, we're good at seeking God with a half heart, you know, kind of a lukewarm effort. But He's looking for those who are totally sold out to Him. And you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, a verse that's familiar to a lot of people, where He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their sin and pray, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. And wow, do we need healing in our land. We need those who are already followers and believers in the Lord to turn to Him, not with a half-heartedness, but with a wholeheartedness, and say, God, you are number one priority. You're number one over entertainment, over my personal goals, over money and jobs and everything. And when we do that, He promises to show up in unexpected ways and in power. So we can't treat God like an employee. We can't treat Him as our servant. He is God. We have to treat Him as such. And when we honor Him, He does incredible things. So it's time for our country to return back to Him in prayer.
Well, Alex, as you say, you know, in quoting 2 Chronicles 7, is that, you know, that issue of humbling, what that represents, that it's not about us. It's all about God's sovereignty and His plan and purpose, even for the United States today. And not only us, Israel, the world, his creation. I mean, for His creation, He sent His Son. He's all in, and He wants to know, are we all in with Him?
That's exactly right. And, you know, He gave everything to us. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And what more can He do?
Yeah, right.
And so He's saying, I'm offering forgiveness for not things God has done wrong, things we have done wrong. And He says, you know, if you turn to me, if you call on my name, I'll save you. And so, for me, what I did, I read that, I learned that it was true, I recognized that I'm capable of doing all sorts of terrible things and selfish things. So I asked the Lord to forgive me, I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me and to be my Lord and Savior, and I daily now pray and I seek Him, and He has made all the difference in my life, and He can do the same thing in our culture.
That's right. Well, when you look at the evidence clearly that is before us at every turn, whether we talk about families, the children, abortions across this country, what is happening on the political level. You know, this country right now is considering our next president, and they're more confused than ever. They just don't know what to do anymore. In fact, I think that in some circles, if you told people, you said, hey, guess what? We canceled the election in November, they'd say, oh, good, okay. I mean, this is how unraveled and unanchored we've become.
It is, and you know, it's a reminder that you cannot put your faith and trust in man. Mm-hmm. A man will let you down, and so even though we do need structure, we do need government and politicians, and fortunately we do all need to vote this coming election, but at the same time, that's not where our trust needs to go. Our trust needs to be in the Lord, and therefore our focus and our priorities and prayer need to be on the Lord. He is the answer. He's the one that brings stability and peace, and any prosperity and protection that we have ultimately come from him. Yes, he uses man to a degree, but that's not where our primary trust needs to be. And so this election is important. We encourage everybody to read up on the issues and to prayerfully you know, vote. But at the same time, keep your trust in the Lord. He is the one who holds everything in his hand.
Amen. Well, coming up on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, the National Day of Prayer, it is a time for a nation to humble itself in front of a holy God and to announce to the rest of humanity for that purpose to say, look, it's not about us. It's about a holy God and us reconciling ourselves and confessing to God, coming into agreement with God's purposes for not only America, but the world in this 21st century. Right, Alex?
That's exactly right, and I'm reminded in the book of Acts where he says, return to me, I'll return to you and refresh you and cleanse you. And when I look around in our culture, I think, wow, do we need that refreshment? Mm. We need cleansing and a renewal and to make the main thing the main thing. And God helped us establish this country, and the more we abandon him, the more in trouble we get. And so it's time for us individually and collectively to say, God, we're returning to you. Forgive us of chasing after our own, you know, selfishness. And, you know, ultimately we get into trouble by following what I would consider political correctness. And what I mean by that is political correctness kicks God off the throne and sticks man on the throne. Mm-hmm. That's my best definition of political correctness. And we will never find satisfaction in that because we have ever-changing values in political correctness. And so returning to the anchor that is the Lord and his word is the answer.
Exactly. Alex, why is it that people have a hard time in understanding that if we turn to God and go toward him, he will come running toward us? I mean, as parents ourselves, you know, for those of us that have been parents, we know that when there's something wrong in our relationship with our children, all it takes is for the child just to turn toward us in just the slightest way, and as parents, you know, like that father that's exampled in the New Testament who runs after his prodigal, that, you know, cinches up his garment to go fast after his child to welcome him back into the fold. Why can't we see that there's a loving father in heaven that is, you know, time and time again, who has done that and is willing to do it again?
You know, it's because it's hard for us to surrender our will and to let someone else be in charge. But that is the answer. When we surrender our will to the Lord, it's in the right place, and he holds our future. He holds our answer in his hand. And so to surrender is actually to surrender to the right person is fulfillment. And that's
exactly
what we need to do.
Well, Alex and Stephen Kendrick, of course, have given us so much. And thank you for your ministry, Alex, for your love of God, and for all the work. We wish you all the best. And for all those churches that are going to experience on April the 30th, the War Room Church Screenings, I know that you will be blessed, and it's going to change your prayer life. And we'll see you on May the 5th for the National Day of Prayer, Alex. Thank you so much.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.